This is the Big E Sports Show
on the SportsMap Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, happy holidays. Welcome back, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Love to connect, always on Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can check out my producer, at JackMC15. So, Jack, let's talk about our Cowboys. I mean, what is the biggest reason why they came up short against the Ravens?
Defense. That's pretty much all I could say about that. I don't understand how you could have studs in your linebackers like Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch and not be able to stop the run. And Lamar Jackson just seemed like he could run all day on that Cowboys defense. DeMarcus Lawrence up front, too. And the Cowboys have a lot of problems in their secondary. And not to mention, I think after the Dak Prescott injury, this Cowboys team's heart and mojo just fell apart. With Dak not there to kind of be the spark plug to ignite the Cowboys, this season just basically became a lost season, and I can already see us and all Cowboys Nation looking forward to next season.
Okay, so Lamar tops the Cowboys. In fact, they dropped to 3-9. So what should Dallas do? Let's talk about the future here, Jack. I mean, what should Dallas do with their top draft pick?
So as it currently stands right now, they do have the fourth pick in the draft. I see the Jets and Jaguars both taking quarterbacks, and I do believe if the Bengals stay at number three, they would take an offensive lineman. I think if the Cowboys can, they should trade up and get that number one offensive lineman prospect out of Oregon, shore up the tackle position, let Tyron Smith get back healthy and have him at left tackle, and then get a healthy Zach Martin, because the offensive line is key to anything Dallas does in the run game with Zeke Elliott and gives Dak Prescott time under pressure. Otherwise, they need to get the best defensive player available in the draft.
Okay, you talk about the quarterback, the offensive line position, but let's talk about the head coach. I mean, Mike McCarthy, is he in danger of losing his job? Is this a one-and-done kind of deal? I mean, what's your perception of Coach McCarthy?
I don't think Jerry would give him a one-and-done kind of deal because of all the especially the big injury to Dak Prescott that happened that really wasn't his fault. I think this is just a weird year, and you can kind of blame it on a pandemic-level year for the Cowboys. And I think McCarthy's going to be back, but he better come back with more imaginative play calling in the 2021 season.
You bet. He better be imaginative. And real quick, before we go to commercial break, give me a quick hit on talking about the Ravens, Lamar Jackson. Are you a believer in him?
I still am. I think they just hit a rough stretch, and they have a really favorable schedule going down to the end of the season, so I do believe the Ravens will still make the playoffs.
Hey, our NFL news and notes is going to continue. We're bringing it to you at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. You come on back.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. It is time for some college football talk. But first, SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, are designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today, and their professional parts people can help you find just the exact battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Hey, it is week 15 of the college football season. Right now, we are going to head out to the SEC and shine the spotlight on the Georgia Bulldogs. They moved down one spot. In fact, they slipped to the number 9th ranked team in the country. And we are so delighted to have back with us, that is Seth Emerson. He is a staff writer for The Athletic and also author of the new book on Kirby Smart and Georgia's return to glory. It is titled Attack the Day. Good to have back with us Seth Emerson. Good morning, Seth.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's talk about your Bulldogs. They moved down one slot in the rankings. So as we step back and kind of assess how this season has played out, but I mean, what does this ultimately mean for their bowl outlook? What kind of impact will this have?
Well, the rankings, I think people around here, frankly, don't care too much unless people they perceive that they're attacking them for being ranked too high, which people have been, because Georgia's season really hasn't been that impressive on paper or really eye test wise. But look, the last three seasons, 2017, 18, and 19, Georgia at this point was going into the SEC championship game with a chance to win it and get into the playoff. And this year they're not going to be in the SEC championship. So everything else is a disappointment. Georgia's probably still going to go to what they call a New Year's Six Bowl, probably the Peach, maybe the Cotton, something like that. But I think at this point, people are just generally ready for the season to be over and thinking about next year and year six of the Kirby Smart era.
Hey, we're glad you're with us here in Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us. We are live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always connect with our guest, and that is Seth Emerson. He's a staff writer for The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Seth W. Emerson. And also, hey, the countdown is on. Christmas is just around the corner. We have got the perfect stocking stuffer, and that is Seth's new book. It is titled Attack the Day, Kirby Smart and Georgia's Return to Glory. It is a compelling read. And so since we're talking about Kirby Smart, head coach, I mean, like, what is his frustration level? I mean, kind of give us the pulse, because I know you're talking to him every week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's mostly frustrated just about the situation, the quarterback situation, mainly because they hired a new offensive coordinator in the offseason, Todd Monken, and he came with this reputation of opening things up and passing the ball downfield more, doing things that Georgia hadn't been doing the past few years, which incurred the wrath of the fan base for being too boring and not throwing it around the field like Alabama and LSU were doing. And I think Georgia planned to do that this year.
Okay, so you talk about offensively, just the drop-off that has happened. What have you seen defensively from the Bulldogs? Because they've always been at the top as far as in the SEC defensively.
I think that you see a defense, and it's very similar in personnel last year. They've had more injuries this year than they had last year, including the two of their best defensive players, Richard LaCounta Sr. and Jordan Davis, nose tackle. But what you've seen is a continuation of what we saw in the LSU game last year, the SEC championship, when as good a defense as Georgia had played all year, they couldn't stop that offense. And it's been the same thing this year when they faced first Alabama and then Florida. They couldn't stop offenses, and Mississippi State, too, when they faced them a couple weeks ago. They couldn't stop an offense that just wanted to pass and could pass the ball well. And it kind of gets back to the trend in college football in general. And you see a little bit of it in the NFL, too, maybe a lot of it, that the offenses are ahead of the defenses. And so defenses don't win championships anymore. That was the old adage in football, and they just don't. And Kirby Smart knows that. He knew that last year. But the schematic changes that they may have looked at after – you know, losing LSU the way they did last year didn't work this year. So they've got to go back to the drawing board a lot on defense. And I think the story for Georgia this offseason going into 2021 is not going to be so much the offense, because I think they know what they want to do. They just need the personnel to stay the same. They've got to figure out if they have any answers on defense, because their personnel was what they wanted this year, and it's going to be good again this next year. But it's just a matter of whether that's going to be good enough.
Okay, so the Bulldogs getting ready for kickoff. They're looking for some answers and to improve their record today as they will face the Missouri Tigers, the 25th ranked team in the country. Seth, what are your expectations?
You know, I think that this is an interesting game because Missouri comes in with some momentum and they have some offense and they've got a running game to go with it. So I think this could get interesting. Georgia is still the favorite. They still should be. Georgia, unlike a lot of teams, and Missouri, unlike a lot of teams, has not packed it in. You know, you see a lot of teams out there, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, that have struggled, and they don't have their goals on the table anymore. They're not going for a championship, where teams have fired coaches, a lot of players have opted out, and a lot of players have basically quit on the season. And you don't see that at Georgia at all. And Missouri is down to 59 scholarship players as of earlier this week, but they're still playing hard. So it has the potential to be a really interesting game. Georgia's talent should still win out if they play well, but it, like I said, you know, Missouri could give Georgia trouble.
We're getting ready to segue and talk about your new book, Attack the Day, Kirby Smart and Georgia's Return to Glory. But, you know, what has it been like for you as a writer? Here you are, a staff writer for The Athletic. What have been some of your takeaways covering this college football season? Any frustration?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of frustrations, but also, number one, I knew it going in, and you kind of know there's nothing you can do about it. Like, all the interviews have been over Zoom, including post-game. I haven't gone to some of the games. I did not go to – what game did I not go to? Kentucky. And
okay,
I'm not
going
to be in Missouri.
Right.
Because those are too far to go for just observing the game with your own eyes, which I think there's a lot of value in it. But we've chosen not to go that far, especially with Georgia out of championship contention. And I hate that. And not being able to go to practices and see people in person and see the team in person and everything. But I think on some level, too – we're just glad there was a season, you know, because like Kirby Smart said the other day, 6 months ago, there was a lot of debate and wonder about whether there would be a season at all. And when the Big Ten and Pac-12, as it turns out, temporarily canceled, mm-hmm. we thought that there would be no season. But since there is, I think we're just grateful that there is and accepting that this is just a one-year thing in terms of media access.
Our special guest is Seth Emerson. He is a staff writer for The Athletic, and the title of his new book is Attack the Day, and it does justice to its subject, showcasing the philosophies, the work ethic, and the attitude that makes Kirby Smart a hero in Athens, Georgia. What are your fans? What are they going to find when they open it up?
They're going to find, I think, a story about the first 4 years of the Kirby Smart era, and just, I think it's a and the last year or two of the Mark Richt era that preceded it and set it up. And it, for people that aren't Georgia fans, I think there's a lot of interest in college football fans and just how this program has been built up and how a major college football program is built up. And I actually did hear from somebody, I think in the Midwest, I don't remember whether it was Ohio or Michigan, frankly, but who wrote me last week and said that they picked up the book because even though they're not a Georgia fan, but they're a college football fan, and they were just curious about how a college football program is built and operated. And this book did provide a lot of that insight. So, even if you're just a casual college football fan, I think there's some interest in this for you.
Mm-hmm. Our good friends at Triumph Books have hooked you up. You can go to their website and pick up a copy or anywhere online. Again, the title of the book is Attack the Day, Kirby Smart and Georgia's Return to Glory. Our very special guest has been Seth Emerson, helping us kick off Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network. And you can check out his work, staff writer for The Athletic. Enjoy covering that game this weekend against Missouri, and we'll catch up in 2021. Thank you so much, Seth.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. NFL alum Lejay Doosable is coming up next.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from our listeners at eRadio Sports. Info at eRadioSports.com. Twice is nice. You can go back and listen to each and every one of our guests at PodcastArena.com. And as always, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, you bet. It is time for some NFL news and notes here in hour two. We're going to head out to the NFC West and zero in on the 49ers. I tell you what, it's been a very difficult season, and our next guest is going to help us preview the 49ers and the Washington football team on Sunday. We are so delighted to have back with us, we love him, NFL alum, 10 years as an NFL defensive lineman. That is the great Lejay Doosable. Hello, Lejay.
Hello, thanks for having me on again.
All righty, it's good to have you back on the show, and give us the pulse. I mean, what do you think is the biggest reason for the 49ers' struggles this season? They're 5-7. From what I understand, they're one of the most injured teams in the league.
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, that is the number one thing, the injury factor. But I mean, every team is dealing with injuries, but I believe no team has dealt with them more than the 49ers, especially in pivotal positions. You look at last year, defensive rookie of the year, and Nick Bosa, who's also up for defensive player of the year, he got hurt with a knee injury and was out early. Also, Solomon Thomas, another guy they took in the first round on that defensive line, who is used to getting pressure on the quarterback. That way, that secondary can hold up. And they lost Richard Sherman for a little bit. He's back now. And also, Dee Ford on that defensive line. So you're looking at the strength of that defensive line minus DeForest Buckner, who leaves in a trade to Indianapolis, which people aren't talking about that trade enough. I feel like he's the number two defensive tackle in all of football behind Aaron Donald, a guy that can create pressure up the middle and constantly is close to getting double-digit sacks year in and year out. I think when you lose a guy like that, yes, they got Kinlaw in the draft, but it's really hard to replace a guy with that type of production up front. So the injuries along the defensive front, and then also the injuries in the secondary has really hurt this team. And then if you look at offense, Jimmy Garoppolo, their quarterback, he's hurt again. He's out, has been out for the last, I believe, 3 or 4 weeks. And then the number one tight end in all of football, George Kittle, is out. And they're saying that they might not even be back until the last week or the week before of the season. So that has really hurt the 49ers. I think a lot of people had them winning the NFC again this year. But with those injuries, it's really hard to overcome that.
You know, not having a preseason, how big of an impact did that have in terms of when we talk about the injuries with the 49ers?
I think it plays a part, but a lot of these injuries were major injuries, like ACL to Solomon Thomas and also Nick Bosa. I mean, whether you had preseason or not, that's kind of a freak turn. You turn your knee this way, or you get bent up, or you get caught up by somebody else's knee. That can happen. Those are fluke plays that can happen. You more worry about the soft tissue injuries, the hamstrings and the pulls when it comes to not having preseason. But the injuries that the 49ers have had, like the high ankle sprains, there's nothing really you can do about that. I mean, you get hit in a certain place as Jimmy Garoppolo did, and you know, you get a high ankle. There's nothing you can really do to train. Those are fluke incidents that have happened to the 49ers. And it's not just this year. It's going back to when I was there in 2017. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of guys in IR, and this is a team who routinely can get past that and put some wins together while there's a lot of people injured until, you know, the cavalry arrives, those guys come off injuries and come back. But this year they've been decimated by guys getting season-ending injuries, so it's really hard to overcome that.
You know, LeJay, I mentioned that you played 10 years in the league. I mean, could you even imagine trying to compete and play at a high level when they're in the middle of, you know, these players, I mean, and coaches, they're dealing with this pandemic? I mean, how do you think you would have responded to it?
Yeah, these are trying times, Alyssa. It's not even just football players. It's everybody around the world just getting used to the new normal. And I don't know how I would have reacted. You know, I would have probably been able to cope just like everybody else, but it would have been tough, right? In my head, I was telling some of the players, I train players now, I was telling them that you guys in your head should put in your head that you're not going to see your families for 6 months if you want to make sure you get through this season without, you know, any hiccups, because essentially that's what you have to do, right? If you look at the sports that have had success, baseball, they had a bubble. Basketball had a bubble. Soccer, they had a bubble. Well, the NFL's not in a potential bubble, but they've laid it on the players to do the right thing, go from the facility to go home, only go out if you really need to. And that's the mindset I would have had to have. Like, I would have, you know, kissed my family probably in the beginning of July and then made sure there was enough time that, you know, before I went to camp, I'm not putting anybody at risk. And then, like, well, I'll see you guys in hopefully February because we're going to the Super Bowl. But, you know, at the earliest, I'm going to see you in January.
Uh-huh.
And that's the mindset you would have had to have. And it's not just the NFL, it's college. And I call the UCF games, and I commended UCF. I believe they were the first school to go through straight and play every game that it was actually scheduled to play. Like, they didn't have to wait a week or reschedule a game. And they were the first college team to finish, you know, this season. They're just waiting for their bowl game now. And you have to commend, you know, student-athletes, because to tell an 18- to 22-year-old that, you know, you have to stay home, when you see your friends that are not student-athletes going out and having fun, you know, potentially putting themselves and others at risk, and knowing that you can't do that because you could potentially put the coaching staff, you know, the other players on your team at risk, it shows a lot for 18 to 22-year-olds to do that, and it shows a high level of maturity.
You are listening to the voice of LeJay Dusable, NFL alum, 10 years as a defensive lineman. Give him a follow on Twitter, at LeJay Dusable. And it's interesting, I mean, you break down just the maturity. You're talking about so many of these players, just, you know, how they have responded to social distancing within football. But, you know, when we think about the game, it's built on momentum, and fans play a very big role in that. What has been your observation about playing games without, you know, just limited fans? I mean, how big of an impact do you think that has had? I mean, can you imagine playing your game in an empty stadium? What would that be like?
Yeah, it's monumental. And like I said, it's not just football that's had to deal with it. You got to think about the NBA bubble with no fans in it. And then soccer stadiums where you're thinking there's, you know, 100,000 fans usually, and then there's nobody in the stadium. So it really makes you hone in to the love of the game, right, and how much you love the game. Because a lot of times, if you're not, you know, there's days unless we go out there and we don't feel 100% ourselves and we feed off that fan energy. But now you don't have that. You know, most stadiums up north and out west, there's no fans in it. And some stadiums in the south, I think it's limited capacity, maybe 25%. So you have to find your own energy and go out there, and you still have a job to do at the end of the day. So you have to, you know, play at a high level, because at the end of the day, the GM and the owner doesn't care if there's not fans in the – I mean, they care if there's fans there, but as far as you doing your job, they could care less whether you need that energy from the crowd or not. So you really have to hone in on your love in the of the game and figure out why you're out there in the first place, and you really lean towards that and really live into it.
You know, we talk so much about the players and what they're experiencing, but I have to just wonder about as far as ownership with so many of these teams. I mean, they're losing a lot of money not having fans there. How do you think they're going to be able to rebound from this?
Well, they've already said that the cap number is going to go down for next year, so I think that is going to play a part in it, how much they can, you know, potentially spend going forward. This pandemic is not just going to change this year. It's just going to change every year going forward. It's going to change the shape of how we really do our day-to-day living. So I think the owners are going to have to be just like everybody else. They got to cope with what's going on, and they have to adapt to what's going on with COVID. And like I said, I believe the cap numbers will go down. I think they're going to be substantially lower in every sport, not just football. So it's something that we all, as a human race, have to deal with going forward.
You know, your time playing, and you had mentioned this, with the 49ers, I mean, they were dealing with a lot of adversity and injuries. How did you respond, and how did you provide leadership as a player and on the team, and how did you encourage others around you?
Yeah, I mean, it's cliche as it might sound, right? It's the next man up, and, you know, that sounds really cliche, but that's how it really is. And one thing I've learned about football, it doesn't stop for anybody. I've been on teams where there's been major injuries. I tore my pec the first time I ever got hurt in football was my sixth year. And, you know, you always feel like, you know, the team may not be as good or that. Not to toot my own horn, but you realize that, you know, things really go on. I had a good friend, O.C. Urmanyura. I was his teammate for my first 2 years playing with the New York Giants. And my first year, he tore his ACL. And he was like, dude, it's just weird that, like, you know, this is a guy that routinely gets 10-plus sacks. But our defense was still ranked. When he got hurt, our defense was still in the top five. And he was like, it's just crazy how this game will go on without you. Like, it really is not forgiving. Like, no matter what, the game is going to get played. And I think this year, more so than anything, with COVID involved and everything else, you see that the game is going to get played. So as a leader on a team, you really have to, you know, pick up your brothers on a team. You know, you have to band together when you have a substantial injury like a Jimmy Garoppolo or George Kittle or Nick Bosa. It really is next man up. And guys like Kerry Hyder have stepped up. Fred Warner, to me, the best linebacker in football right now, has really stood up. Guys like Raheem Mostert, he's been banged up a little bit. But when he's played at a high level. And then they also brought in Trent Williams. These are the guys that have to get everybody to rally together and play well. And that's what football is a group of men. You know, really, you know, I want to say doing the impossible, but coming together for a common goal. And when one goes down, the next soldier has to pick everybody else up.
It is week 14 of the NFL season. We are having an exclusive interview with NFL alum. That is Legay Douzeboul. I always learn something new when you're on the show. So tell all of our listeners, I mean, what are you doing now in terms of with broadcasting?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm calling the UCF games. We have one more game left. The bowl game, we're slated to go to the Vocal Bowl, and it's, I believe, against an ACC opponent. I hope it's North Carolina, because we were supposed to play them in the beginning of the year, but because of ACC rules, the only way we could have played them is if we went there, but they were scheduled to come to us, so we weren't going to do that, especially at the time being a top 10 team. We were like, oh, you guys can come to us. We're not going to go to you guys. So I'm doing that. I have my podcast going. I have a multiple cut podcast. Anything is Douzeboul.
Oh yeah,
cooking
okay
with Chef Douz, and then also Two Nights One Podcast, which we talk about UCF football, of course, and then Anything is Douzeboul. I usually have NFL players come on, current, retired, and we talk about some of the great things that they're doing off the field, and I also get them in the kitchen and cook with them. And then I'm also an amateur chef, so I have a Cooking with Chef Duke's segment that I have on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And I have a lot of different, you know, recipes up there. So you guys, make sure you guys check that out. It's on Instagram and YouTube. Anything is Douzeboul, Cooking with Chef Duke's.
Two Nights
One Podcast is on all your podcast listening views. You can listen to it on Apple, iHeart, Spotify. It's on there too.
Oh, man, you haven't taken any time off. We will definitely check it out. A continued success. Always a true pleasure to have you on the show here at Sports Map Radio Network. Thank you so much, Leger, and you stay safe, okay?
You as well. Thanks for having me on again.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, the Christmas countdown 2020, it is on, and we love getting you ready here at Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. But first, you know, if your battery goes dead, everything comes to a stop. Don't take a risk on a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing, and if your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, the holidays, it is such a fun time of year, and perhaps you're wondering, what should you get the golfer in your life? So we've got some great gift ideas coming up in our next segment. And also, how do you stay fit during the winter months? And we've always got to talk some PGA news and notes. Delighted to welcome in the one and only former PGA Tour player and prolific author. That is Santa Miller. Larry Miller. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Yeah, Larry. It's Larry. Sometimes I have to thank myself.
All righty. Well, talk to us.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have you with us. So what is some ideal Christmas golf gifts for all of the enthusiasts out there? I mean, the countdown's on. Christmas is going to be here before you know it. So provide us with some fresh ideas.
Well, a few things that come to mind that make great Christmas gifts for the golfer. One is the old standby. It's the old monogram golf balls. These days, you can get any manufacturer, whichever ball that the golfer plays with, you can get any manufacturer to put a message on the ball, whether it be a nickname or the person's initials or some saying that has meaning to the player. Sometimes it's done as a joke. You know, they got sandbaggers out there, and I know a guy that got a dozen balls with low net put on it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, that's one great thing, because it's a dozen golf balls is, you know, anywhere from 40 to 50 bucks. And as I said, you can get it customized with anything you want on it, even in colors, the message can be. So that's an inexpensive gift that's very usable, functional for the player, and they'll appreciate that. Another one, you know, a lot of people don't have a distance, a range finder, you know, a distance measurer, if you will, a GPS. And a lot of those things, those Bushnells and so forth, can cost upwards of $400 or $500. But Bushnell makes something called the Phantom. It's a little square thing, about the size of almost the face of a watch. And, it's got a great display on it. You know, big numbers, and it comes loaded with every golf course in the United States, virtually. I mean, anywhere you go, you step on the first tee, hit a button, it picks up that course, and it will give you the yardages to the front, middle, and back of every green, and also give you distances to hazards, such as bunkers or water hazards and the like. And it's only $99. You know, if you don't want to spend $400 or $500 for a rangefinder, that's a great idea. And to tell you the truth, it works. It's every bit as useful as a $500 rangefinder, because if you've got a pin sheet position, all you need is front, middle, and back, and that's what it gives you. And it's very accurate to within 1 yard. So that's by Bushnell, and that's it's called a Phantom by Bushnell.
Well, I will definitely have to. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say one third thing, because it's wintertime, we get a lot of rain and cold weather. A nice rain suit, you know, a nice combination pants and top that's waterproof and warm. And that makes a great gift too this time of year.
Hey, glad you're with us. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience. At eRadio Sports is our Twitter, info@eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. Also, another great gift idea, check out LarryMillerGolf.com. And you know what? For your loved one, you can sign up for some golf lessons. What are they going to find when they go to your website, Larry?
Well, they're going to find an opportunity to send me some videos of their golf swing. I'll tell you how to do it from different angles with different clubs. And I get that video via email, and I diagnose your swing, any problems or faults that you have, and then I will get on the phone with you, and we'll talk about your golf swing, make suggestions as to how to fix the faults that you have, how to improve your swing, and give you drills to reinforce those you know, those things you're working on. And that's another great gift idea. You get a few video lessons for your loved one, and then they'll play better golf in the coming year.
Well, one guy that is playing some really good golf is, of course, former Oklahoma State Cowboy Victor Hovland, who, of course, wins the Mayakoba Golf Classic and was able to stay calm under pressure. What were some of your takeaways?
You know, he's fulfilling the promise that everybody made about him. If you remember, in fact, we talked about it on this show last year. We talked about some of the up-and-coming young potential stars, and he was right at the top of the list. And now he's making that that prediction come true. He's fulfilling it. It's his second win now. And he's doing that, battling the demons. You know, he admittedly says that he has trouble. He gets very nervous when he gets in contention. And he said he almost goes to pieces. But somehow, that's why you practice so much. You practice so much that it becomes automatic. No matter how nervous you are, you make that same swing every time. And that's why so many repetitions are important when you practice. You have to keep doing the reps to drill it in to make it automatic. But that's how he overcame the demons, was because of his great ball striking. He's, you know, his forte is from tee to green. He can be a bit weak sometimes with chipping and putting. That's been his one Achilles heel, if you will. But he did it well. You know, the two victories, obviously, he was putting well and had a good short game.
Well, last weekend at the Mayakoba, he birdied last hole to secure his second victory on tour. And there is a lot of things that stand out about his game. But, you know, I'm just wondering, as I listen to you talk about, as far as battling nerves, what should your self-talk be between shots so you are calming yourself? I mean, obviously, breathing technique, that is very important. What are you saying to yourself on the inside?
Well, what you're saying to yourself is, how you're going to play the next shot. You got to get right into it. When you hit it, when you're in competition, especially in a pressure situation, after you hit a golf shot, no matter what it is, drive, approach shot, whatever, as soon as that ball lands and finishes, you start thinking about what you're going to do in the next shot and planning. You know, you just look at everything visually, see how the green slopes, see where the pin's located if you're in the fairway. If you're on the tee, you look at where you want to hit the ball, where the positive locations are for you to hit the ball. You got to get into thinking about the next shot right away, because if you don't, your mind can start drifting into negative things like, how do I stay in the par? Where's the next par five where I can make a birdie and get that bogey back? You know, you don't want to think like that. You want to stay in your game totally. And as soon as that ball finishes, start with the next shot. Okay, here's what I got coming up, and here's what I need to plan to do. And that way it keeps your mind from drifting away into bad things, like where are the hazards, you know, don't hit it over there, don't hit it there. You don't ever want to say that to yourself. Never say don't hit it there. Always say, I want to hit it there. You pick out a positive location for the shot and say, I'm going to hit the ball there. Make that affirmation, even verbally. You can even do it audibly, out loud, and say it to yourself. Say, I'm going to hit the ball to the right center of the green. And then you get up there and play the shot. The body will do a lot of, most of the time. It'll do what the mind is going to tell it to do. Mm-hmm. And if you say don't hit in the hazard, the last thing your body, your brain hears is hazard, and that makes your body aware of it. You don't want to do that. You want to stay positive.
So when did you figure that out, Larry? How old were you?
Way too late.
Come on, what are you talking about? You made the PGA Tour. Come on, Larry.
Well, yeah, but I'll tell you, I did. But it takes a long time. If you're a DJ and you have that kind of demeanor, it doesn't make that much difference. It doesn't bother you that much. But if you're the type of person that gets nervous under pressure, it can take a long time to overcome that. And I had to actually learn techniques from my teachers, you know, as I went along, techniques, and that's just what we were talking about just now, was keeping your mind on the next shot and how you're going to play it. That's one way you overcome it. The other way is breathing. You have to keep breathing. You know, you tend to breathe faster when you're under pressure. And when you breathe faster, you create more tension in your body. So you have to control your breathing. It's very, very important under pressure. You know, you want to take even breaths, spaced out very evenly and deep enough to release that stress. If you catch yourself, start breathing faster, it means your heart's beating faster, and it means you're going to tense up.
Hey, we are Inside the Ropes with Larry Miller, former PGA pro at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show 2021. It is just around the corner. So let's talk about some of the storylines. And who do you think might be that comeback player of the year? Who do you have your eye on, Larry?
Well, the comeback player of the year, you know, we would all like for it to be Jordan Spieth, of course, with the travails that he's been through here the last couple of years. And, you know, I've listened to some of the talking heads, you know, on Golf Channel and so forth, and they all talk about how much talent Jordan Spieth has and, you know, what a fabulous short game he had, probably still has in there somewhere. And he had that just really shooting star start to his career, winning those majors. And the guy's just too talented. The consensus seems to say he's way too talented for this to linger, for this slump to go on. So I'm fully expecting him, and he's a smart guy too, and he's working to figure this out, and I think he's going to figure it out. So I'm looking for him to have a great comeback year this coming year. I think he's primed for it. And, you know, if we get on the subject of comebacks and once again talking about Tiger Woods, I don't know about that one. That one's kind of shaky. He's just not playing enough golf, and his body apparently just can't stand too much of it. And so that's not good, and I'm not looking for a big comeback from him. But I'm going to go with Jordan. I think he's going to have a good year and come back and fulfill the potential we know he has.
Okay, so you talk about Jordan Spieth and lightly touch on Tiger Woods. We, of course, wonder how much more he does have in his tank. I mean, I think he's enjoying being a father and working with his son, Charlie. And so that'll be exciting to watch those two tee it up next weekend. But what has happened to Justin Rose? I mean, I know he made some equipment and some coaching changes. He missed 7 cuts in 13 starts. But where do you think he is at with his game? I've always enjoyed watching Justin.
You know what? That's a great subject. There's a great parallel between Justin Rose and Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods won the U.S. Open by 15 shots at Pebble Beach and promptly began to make changes in his golf swing. His golf swing was perfect. I talk about that in my book. It was absolutely on plane all the way. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect golf swing with a lot of speed. And he started making changes for and who knows why. He says it was because he was trying to get better, but I don't know how you can get much better than winning the U.S. Open by 15. Well, Justin Rose, you know, it's a parallel there. It's the same thing. Justin Rose, 2-3 years ago, had a golf swing that was just, you know, you couldn't find a fault in it. It was, there are books about it. His teacher wrote a book about Nick Bradley was one of his coaches and teachers, and talked about how perfect his golf swing was. Well, all of a sudden, he starts changing equipment. You know, he signed with the Japanese, I think it's Honma, however you say it, company, tried to play their clubs, had TaylorMade, went, you know, got rid of the Honmas. I guess he's back with TaylorMade. So he starts fiddling with his equipment when he's playing great golf with a great golf swing. And when you make radical changes in your equipment, it can tweak your golf swing a little bit because the clubs are different. You have to make you have to have different action to accommodate the new clubs. So I think the fiddling around, and like Tiger did after winning at Pebble Beach, you know, he fiddled around and got himself messed up. And I think Justin Rose did the same thing. Went from a wonderful golf swing, and now he's trying to find it again. And, I think Tiger's always been trying to find that swing again that he had in 2000. And I think Justin Rose is trying to find his. But he probably will, because just like Jordan, he's very talented, very smart, and a hard worker, both of them. And so I'm not going to say he'll have a massive comeback this year, but I think he's going to have a good year.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes and continue our conversation with Larry Miller. Another very talented player, of course, is Brooks Koepka, who has really struggled with his injuries to his knee and his hip for much of 2020. So when he gets healthy again, what are your expectations? What do you think will happen?
Well, you know, he's a great player. He's got a game built for tough golf courses. When he's driving the ball well, it's kind of like DJ. When he's driving it well, he's dangerous. But I don't think he has the short game and the course management skills that some of the other top players do. He just seems to me to be kind of this gorilla that gets out there and just bombs it around the golf course and dominates the course. And when he's on, you know, he's awesome. But when he's not on, he has a hard time scoring when he doesn't have his A game. And that's the key to it. That's what made Tiger so great, is a lot of times when he had his B game or even B minus game, he'd still win because of his brains, you know, the way he would manage the golf course. But I don't think Koepka has that same ability on that level. And I think when he starts struggling, his scoring, you know, goes haywire. He shoots 74s and fives. You know, whereas when Woods when he was playing bad for him, he'd shoot 71. And you add that over four rounds, that's a huge difference. And I think that's his problem.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we've always got you covered when we are inside the ropes with former PGA Tour player. That is Larry Miller. So much more to get into next week. We'll talk some DJ. He perhaps is the biggest storyline of 2020. So have a safe and a wonderful weekend. And we look forward to another conversation before our big Christmas break. We're going to take 2 weeks off. It'll be nice.
Yeah, maybe we'll sing a carol or two in the next show. I'll see you next week.
Okay, sounds good. Then, of course.